Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15, we read just three verses, Proverbs 15, 15 to 17. So Proverbs 15, beginning of verse 15, it reads, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins, Lord. We just are so thankful for your salvation that you have provided. We just pray, Lord, in this time of year as we think of your first coming, we just pray that you would draw our hearts towards you, that we would honor you in all that we do, and we would be witnesses for you in everything that we do as well. In Jesus' name, amen. And this time of year, of course, we say to one another many different times that we wish that people would have a Merry Christmas. I think it's something that we, each of us, desire for ourselves, and we wish it on other people as well, that they would have a Merry Christmas. And we recognize in this time of year, as in any time of year, we want to do what's pleasing to God. We want to honor Him. And we recognize sometimes there's a difference in what we think and what God thinks, that His ways are higher than ours. We think, for instance, we want to be happy. God wants us to be blessed. For us, we think, well, for us to be happy, everything has to go our way. And if it doesn't, we're not happy. But we recognize that God's ways are better than ours. And when we submit unto them, we're truly blessed, both now and in the future, that sometimes we may not be happy in the midst of something, but we can be blessed by it. And so we want to get the right perspective, and we recognize that what the world thinks we need to have in order to have a Merry Christmas and what God in His Word says can often be two very different things. And we recognize as believers that we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we recognize as well that there's so much stuff around the Christmas season that in many ways takes away from any kind of true time of contemplation of God's love and sending His Son to die for us. And we want to recognize that it's not something that we complain about. It's something we realize was, as believers, we need to try to be a witness, try to be an influence, that someone has said, no sense complaining about the dark. It's better to just light a candle. And so we want to be a good testimony, especially in this time of year. And we recognize kind of the way of this world that so many people at this time of year are burdened down by care, by stress and by worry, getting the perfect gift, making sure everything is just right. And then there's always usually the fear that when you get family together that there's going to be some kind of fight and then it's going to ruin everything. And there's so many things, honestly, that we can worry about if we choose to. But we realize, it says in Philippians chapter 4, that we're to be careful for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication let our requests be known unto God. That we don't need to be anxious, that we want to have a calmness in our life, a peace of whatever happens. So we recognize on the flip side as well, when we think of having a Merry Christmas, that sure, we should not be full of care, but it doesn't mean that we should be carefree. That we think of the way of the world, it's the idea of eat, drink, and be merry, that we live in such a way. We think of the one man that had much goods, and he decided, well, I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater ones. And he said, well, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said, well, now shall thy life be taken from you, that And it was the thought that he was doing all these things, but he wasn't even thinking about God, that God wasn't even entering into anything of his thoughts. And that's not what we want to do. We see that there's much in this world today of carousing and other things that there's not really any consideration or thought or contemplation of God amongst many at this time of year. And we certainly don't want that to be true of us. And we recognize that it doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to have any fun, but we recognize he doesn't want us to be enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. That sure it can be fun for a time, but in the end, it hurts greatly. And so we want to recognize if we want to have a Merry Christmas, we want it to have one that it pleases God, that it honors him. And we want to see what it means to be merry as it's shown in the Scriptures, or what is right, what is proper. And we recognize Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." That the attitude that we have, the heart that we have in entering into things, if that's the way it should be, then everything else will happen the way that it ought to. And so we desire that we would have a merry heart, that our heart would be right with the Lord. And if we are to define merry, we recognize it means to be glad or to be joyful. And when someone has a merriness to them, it kind of gives it with the connotation to make a thing that is good or right or beautiful. And that's, if we're to have a Merry Christmas, we want it to be something that is good and right and beautiful and pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And we recognize that God desires for us, in this sense, to have a merriness in the sense of being glad, being joyful. We see this in different places. It isn't something that we can think, well, God wants us to be continually suffering and never have any happiness in our life. We actually see that he wants us to be able to have joy even if we're in the midst of suffering. We see John 16 and verse 24 that Jesus is speaking to them about prayer. And he says, verse 24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." And that's the thought, that the Lord doesn't want to give us just a little bit of joy. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be right up to the brim of it. We find also in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, it's that John is saying, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And that is a thought that God wants us to have fullness of joy. In the psalm we read this morning, it speaks that in thy presence there is fullness of joy. That is what we want to have. That when we get into the presence of God, that when we're close to him, we have a joyfulness within our hearts that is beyond anything that this world could ever give. And we recognize as well that it is possible for us to have joy even when things are not going well. We find in Habakkuk in the Old Testament that the Lord had basically showed the prophet that the Babylonians were going to come and conquer his nation. But he says, verse 17, this is Habakkuk chapter 3, it says, "Though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and then there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." And that is something that we recognize. It's the joy that we have derives from the source of our joy. If we are only full of joy based on our circumstances, on how things go, if things go the way that we want, then it's going to fluctuate. But if our joy is found in the Lord and what he has done for us, all that he has given us, that's where we can find true joy, when we focus upon just the fact of his great salvation that he has provided unto us. that we can be thankful for that. So we see in the passage we are looking at in Proverbs chapter 15, where it speaks, Proverbs 15 and verse 15, says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." That if we have this merriness, this true joy, that it's something that we can feed upon again and again, that it isn't something that it can satisfy us, it can sustain us. And we recognize in this day and age that the world kind of says, well, we need all this stuff to be happy. And as children, especially as we enter into this time of year, that we have a list and we want to be filled, and if it's not filled, then we're not happy. And we actually find we kind of set ourselves up in this way for disappointment, because we figure, well, we need more to be happy, and we make a longer list, which makes it harder for the parents to meet everything on the list, and if we don't get it, then we're not happy. And we want to realize that sometimes thinking that we can have as kids can transfer when we're as adults. So we have different expectations. If they're not met, then we're not happy. But if we have a truly merry heart entering in to this time of the year, then we realize that whatever happens, that we can still have that joy that the Lord desires for us to have. So we want to ask, what does it take to have a truly Merry Christmas? And how do we need to change our thinking so that whatever happens, we can be truly blessed in this time of year, and that we can truly be a blessing to others? And so we want to think about a few things. First of all, we want to just think for a moment that it's at this time of the year, it's not about presents, it's about people. It's not about presents, but about people. That we give our children what we want. We try to do that, but sometimes we have to ask ourselves, should I give my child everything they want, or should I give them what they need, or what's best for them? That as parents, we have that wisdom. And sometimes we have the whole thought about, well, I got to get the perfect gift for someone. The more gifts, the better. And there's a stress to it. And we get so focused on things that we miss out on what's important. That for our children, that we think if we give them everything that they want, is that going to really help them? And so often I've found the more presents you give a child, the more toys that they have, the less they value what they have. That sometimes if they have less, they cherish it more. And so we want to train them well. We want to do what's best for them in that way. But then in our thoughts as we travel through each day, as we're going through the world, and sometimes we're so focused, and I found it myself, we're so focused on the idea of getting presents and other things that it's like we hardly even acknowledge the humanity of the person at the till. That we're in a rush, we want to get the package, we want to get out, get home again. And we want to realize that we have to be a testimony at all times. And even in this time of year, that we have an opportunity to be a witness. That I contemplate it sometimes. You're in a lineup that everything's crazy, and the person at the till is just wanting to have a break but can't. And it's just the world is just kind of coming into them. And if we don't want to have the same way of doing things that everyone else did. As believers, we want to be different. And I remember one time a few years ago that I went into the post office and I was kind of in a rush, and the lady was at the till, and I was kind of waiting to be served and wondering why she wasn't serving me. And she said, well, just a minute. And sort of the Lord just kind of said, well, just be quiet, just wait, don't be in a panic. And so I just got thinking a bit, and I asked, well, has it been busy? And she says, yeah, it's been really busy. And she just kind of was saying everything that went on. And so then when she was ready, then I stepped forward. And it was just, for her, it meant a lot, because it was just a bit of a chance for her just to take a breath. And it meant a lot to her to do that. And even though we're moved away, like we actually left with quite a good relationship with the lady at the post office there in Montrose, and she even told us when we come back to Montrose to stop in again. But it's like, and it's a thing that we can have an opportunity to witness people, and that if they see that we're different, even at the till, that we're asking them how they're doing, we're willing to wait, that we show our appreciation of them, then we have an opportunity to be a good testimony. And we don't want to allow the rush and panic of the time to forget about that, to forget about the people around us, that there's so many that could use a kind word, a warm smile to cheer them up, that they can see that we're different. We see also as well that this time of year it's not about gifts, but it's about giving. That we can spend a whole lot of money trying to show our love, trying to show that we're good parents. I know I've seen that sometimes with some parents, that they figure they have to have a huge birthday party when the kid's even like 1 year old, when they can't even remember anything. But the problem is when you do that, then every year it has to be bigger and better than the year before. Whereas if the kids get used to something nice and simple, then usually it's happier for them that they're not expecting something so grand. And we want to realize that as believers, we are to be good stewards. And so often we can spend a lot of money, but I think probably our most precious resource that we can give is our time. I know with the kids, last several months I've been working quite hard, and we haven't had a lot of time with them. But lately I've had some more time with them, and it's been a precious thing to them. You can see it, that just to be able to spend that time. And I think that's what we want to realize. The time that we spend together as a family is most important. And it's also we have the resources that we have, and we can try to have this huge monster kind of Christmas, but we realize that there's a lot of people around us that don't have a lot, that could use a hand, that sometimes we could do with less at Christmas so that other people have a better Christmas. That there's so many things that we can find that we can be a blessing in. We realize, as Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive, and that we want to share what God's given us to be a blessing to others. Another opportunity for us to be a testimony to Him, that we can show God's love to other people with the resources that He has given us. And then we see two things in Proverbs chapter 15 that I want to touch on, where it says, verse 16 and 17, it says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." In verse 17, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." That as we gather together as families for Christmas, that we don't need all the gifts, all the different things, that we see these two things that are spoken of here are much more valuable, much more precious. The fear of the Lord and love. And that's something that as we gather together, that we want to honor the Lord. We want to reverence Him. We want to acknowledge Him. Thank Him for everything that He has done. As it says in the Scriptures, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That we want that to govern us. That if we have the fear of the Lord, God will be with us. God will guide us. And we see Proverbs 19 and verse 23. It says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." That when we have the fear of the Lord, we recognize His hand upon us. Whether we have little or much, we are thankful for it. We are pleased with all that He has done, all that He has given us. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt us in due time. That we realize that if we have the fear of the Lord, even if we have a little, that it makes it much more valuable. It's better than great treasure and trouble therewith. And I've With my experience, I've seen that. I've never been what I could call rich, even though we have a great deal. But I worked for a fellow that he owned several different apartment buildings and other things, and he had a lot of money, and it was something that he had. It was kind of sad because kind of every summer he'd sort of have like a nervous breakdown, and then kind of have to have 2 or 3 weeks off to kind of recover, because there's just all these different things that he was worrying about. And like he had a cabin out at the lake, and it was, he bought it cheap and he fixed it up, but he got just to a point where he was gonna, he didn't have to do any more work on it. But then what happened was his wife saw this other cabin that was better on the other side of the lake, and so he ended up selling that cabin to purchase this cabin, and spent 2 or 3 years fixing that one up, and then she saw another one later on. And so it was continual that he had all this money that you'd think he wouldn't have any trouble, that his life was made, but all that he had was just struggle. And every year it was just kind of July, it would seem to happen. He'd be, you wouldn't see him for 2 or 3 weeks because he'd have to kind of recover from a breakdown. And that's the thing we realize, that if we have a little, we can be so much more happy. If we have, first of all, we see the fear of the Lord, and then secondly, we see where love is. And it's something we recognize at this time of year, that often there can be so much selfishness manifested, that there's always, well, I want this and I hope that I get it. If I don't get it, I'm not going to be happy. That this time of year, with so much selfishness manifested, instead it should be that there is so much more selflessness manifested, that we're not thinking of ourselves, we're thinking of other people. That we realize with the Lord Jesus that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. That we have the same heart, that as He gave unto us, we want to give to others, we want to minister to others. It's not about us, it's about those around us. That we don't have to have a bunch of great things. It says here, better is a dinner of herbs. The idea that you don't even have any kind of meat in the meal, it's just plain old vegetables to eat. It says, better than that, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. This idea that you have a cow that's been fattening up within a stall, that it's probably grain-fed and it's going to be just kind of the most perfect steak you'll ever taste, but if there's hatred therewith as you partake, that it's not worth it. And we realize that love is a much more wonderful thing to have a closeness as a family, draw together the Lord, draw close together in love, that it is so much more valuable than any amount of things that we can have. So one man wrote a short story. His name was William Porter. He wrote The Gift of the Magi. And it's interesting. It's of a young couple that were very poor. They could barely afford the apartment that they lived in. But they each wanted to give each other a really good present to show how much that they loved one another. And the husband, Jim, all that he had was that was really of anything of any value to him was this pocket watch that was, he'd kept it for many years and it was valuable. And so he decided, well, I really want to get something for my wife. And so he sold his watch so he could buy a set of these combs that would fit into her hair. They're made of tortoise shell and they had different jewels on them. And she had really long hair, and he figured, well, it would be the perfect gift for her. Because she has such beautiful hair. And so then he came home with this in a box, and he found that his wife had cut her hair and that she had sold it to buy him a chain for his watch. And it was something that they realized that their gifts were useless now, but they treasured them so much because they realized that the love that they had for each other. And that is the way that it can be, that if there's fear of the Lord and if there's love, that makes up for so many other things. That you think of in this day and age, homes that have the most presence in them, the ones that are the happiest, usually the ones that are the least happy, the ones that are the least merry in many ways. But so often it's the ones that have little but rejoice in what they have, that they're thankful for even the smallest of things, that those are the ones that truly can have a Merry Christmas. It's not our circumstances, it's not what we get or what we don't, it's the heart that we have when we go into it. If we're drawn towards the Lord, if we're seeking to honor Him, seeking to be a blessing to each other. And so we recognize that this time of year, we're thinking that we wish to have a Merry Christmas. We recognize that there are choices to make. As we enter into this time of year, we need to ask ourselves, is it going to be a Merry Christmas? Am I going to make a choice that I'm going to put the focus on, not on things, not on presents, but on people, not on gifts, but on giving? That I'm not concerned of all this stuff, but instead I want to focus on honoring the Lord at this time, having love between one another. That it's choices that we have to make, changes in the way we think, and that is what's going to determine whether we have a Merry Christmas or not. And of course, we recognize that there's many that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that it is something that we want to be witnesses for them in all that we do, that they might know the Christ of Christmas, and so that they truly could have a Merry Christmas, that this could be the first Christmas of many where they know the Lord as their Savior. And so may the Lord help us that we, in all that we do, that we're not just thinking of ourselves, but we're thinking of others at this time, that we could be a testimony for Him, so that we can rejoice in what the Lord has done, and perhaps even as we are witnesses, that we could rejoice with the angels in seeing a soul that's come to know the Lord as Savior. Let's pray. The only Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word. We thank You for all that it teaches us. Lord, help us to have the right perspective and priorities in this time of year and in all times of the year, Lord. Help us not to be conformed to the ways of this world and the thinking of this world, but be conformed to the image of Your Son, and that we would be a reflection of Him to those around us. Just pray that You would guide us and help us to fear You, to love You, and to love others, so that You might be glorified and honored in this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to one last hymn. We'll stand as we sing, O Happy Day, hymn 207.